My wife, we've been married 29 and a half years, going to celebrate our 30th next June, and then four daughters. The oldest two are married, and we've got three grandchildren, so it's a lot of fun. All of them live in Iowa, not all in Ames, but they're all in Iowa, so it's a lot of fun having the grandkids around. And I like to say being a grandparent is more fun than a human should be allowed to have. So it's just a lot of fun. 12 years ago, my good friend and fellow pastor in Ames, Pat Sokol, some of you know Pat, he moved to Iowa City to start a new church. We sent a team down there, and he left. And Pat is just simply, if you know Pat, he's just one of the wisest men I've ever known. He just has so much insight. And when he was in Ames, he would just have insight into people and problems. And it just seemed like he was always right. And it was kind of annoying in a good sort of way, you know, because he'd say something that this person's this or this solution. I'd go, no. And it turns out he was right. And I just really valued his wisdom. So when he moved, I realized what we were going to be missing. The void that was going to be in our church because of his absence, his wisdom that left. And so for quite some time, and still to this day, one of my more frequent prayers is for wisdom, that we and that myself and the other pastors would know how to lead the church, that our church would just be wise. And I thought of Solomon. If you know the Bible at all, you know that Solomon is one of the wisest men ever to live. And his father, King David, had just died, and Solomon was now king, and he was a younger man. And I think he realized his father was, you know, such a great leader, and he realized, wow, I'm now in charge of this nation of God's people. I need wisdom. And let's read 1 Kings chapter 3. It says, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give you. Now let's pause there. If the Lord asked you, gave you kind of a blank check and said, what do you want? What would you ask for? You know, we might ask for riches or fame, you know, all kinds of things. Solomon could have asked for those. But here's what he asked for in verse 6. Solomon said, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And I appreciate that heart of all the things he could have asked for. You know, miracles and all kinds of really cool things, things that would have been noble. The one thing he wanted was the ability to lead the people of God, the discernment, the wisdom, the understanding, the insight. And so in 2002, I felt a little bit like Solomon. Pat's just such a great leader and he's so wise. And I felt like, man, it's like following King David. You got nowhere to go but down. And, you know, I just knew that I needed wisdom as a pastor and as a husband, as a father, just as a friend, as a follower of Jesus. And you all are nearly finished with this series on hearing from God. And if we've believed in Jesus Christ and been adopted as His sons and daughters, we have in us, because of His Spirit, we have in us a thirst and a hunger to know Him and to want more in life, to hear from Him, to be intimate with Him, to be directed by Him. And this morning, I want our focus to be pursuing the voice of God, if we can call it that, through the wisdom that God gives us. It's not the miraculous, it's not the cool, it's not like lightning coming down from the sky, but it's the way that God often, maybe most of the time, leads His people and guides us. It's through wisdom that He grants. He's the source of all wisdom. So why don't we pray before we get further into this topic? Lord, we call on You as the God all-wise, the One who knows all things, who understands everything, the working of molecular structure and cell, all the things that happen in cells, as well as the vastness of the cosmos and the things that are dark and secret in our hearts. You know all those things, and you know how to make them work. You know what's wrong. You know how to make it right. Lord, would you set us on a further course to have your wisdom that you grant, so that we might be like Solomon, to help other people, to help ourselves, to walk with you in intimacy, and to bring Christ to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. So back in 2002, when Pat left, the thought of leading the church for me was pretty daunting. But I was thinking a lot about Elijah, the prophet Elijah and Elisha in 1 Kings. And before Elijah was taken up into heaven, the Lord had revealed that he was just going to go up into heaven. Elisha, his apprentice, his request was to have double the spirit of Elijah. And I liked that bold request. That's a pretty audacious request. And I thought about that a lot, and I just appreciated that heart. And I just started praying, Lord, kind of like Elisha asked you, I just want double of Pat's wisdom. I'm not to outdo Pat, because I knew he would keep growing in wisdom, but I wanted more. I wanted what he had. And I don't know that I have double of what I had back then, but I know I'm a lot wiser today than I was back then. And to some of us, the topic of wisdom may sound boring. It doesn't sound very exciting. But if we realize the alternative to being wise is to be a fool, that makes us a little more motivated to be on a path of wisdom, seeking wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Of course, Proverbs is one of the great sources of wisdom. But it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. No one wants to be called a fool. If anyone's ever called you a fool, it hurts. But to be wise is such a beautiful, noble quality. And God directs our lives largely by wisdom. Because day after day, there's so many decisions, so many things that come up that there's no, it's kind of like sometimes we'd like there to be an FAQ, a frequently asked question section in the Bible. You know, when my friend asked me this question, or if I have to make this decision or go here, where's the answer? And, you know, we don't find it in nice little simple statements. We have to take this book, take the experiences we have, the wisdom that God gives, and we have to begin to apply them to life. Let me give you just a couple of quick scenarios on how this plays out in our lives. The one for me, how wisdom plays out, is in my speech. If there's in my best moments, my best days, my most sane days, I want the Lord to direct my words so that my words would be helpful to build others up and not to tear them down. But that's not how it's always worked. I would say in my life, my speech has gotten me into more trouble than any other single area. I've probably gotten reproved and corrected for things I said, stupid things I said, offensive things I said, more than any other single area. And often it's revolved around trying to be funny, trying to be Mr. Funny, and saying funny things that ended up being cutting. I remember once, it was years ago, it was before I got married, and this was a very significant moment. God gave me a huge dose of wisdom on that day. I remember it was after church, we were out in the parking lot with some friends, and I said something really funny, but it was kind of offensive. But I was just in a habit of doing that. And later, an older brother in the church called me up, and he said, Brad, I've noticed you have a habit of saying things that are sort of funny, but they're very cutting. And he just pointed out that God has better things for me. And it was just kind of like a stab in the heart. He said it very graciously, very wisely, but I needed to hear those words, and it woke me up to realize I need wisdom here to know what to say at the right moment. Whether it's funny or not is not the point. Is it building? Is it helping others in their lives? And so I've needed to grow in wisdom over the years, and I still need to know the right words to say at the right time. Because sometimes you can say the right words, the correct words, the true words, but they don't meet the need of the moment because it's not the truth that person needs to hear. something serious just happens in their life, you don't just slap them on the shoulder and say, hey, go for it, life's good. No, you comfort them, you weep with them. Maybe you don't say a word, but it takes wisdom to know that. And I thought of Jesus' words in Matthew 12. I memorized this verse years ago. I think it's verse 34. Jesus said, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Whatever your heart is filled with, that's what's going to flow out of you. That's what's going to come out. And I realized, you know, if I'm filled with self and desire for attention, that's why I'm trying to be funny, is because I want attention. If that's what I'm filled with, that's what's going to come out. It's whatever meets my need. But if I'm filled with God, with His Word, filled with the Spirit, then what's going to come out of me are the blessings from heaven to other people. And I needed wisdom to understand the gospel so well that every time I did sin with my words, that I could stand on the gospel and on forgiveness and not be overcome by guilt and shame, but to repent and walk right back to the cross and receive the mercy of God. I needed wisdom to know, well, you know, to understand that I'm trying to seek after attention. That's why I'm trying to be funny. It's not to really bring humor and joy to someone's life. It was just to bring attention to me, to meet some needs that I had in my life. I need wisdom to understand, why am I doing that? I need wisdom to be a good listener so that if I'm talking to you, I actually know what your needs are so that I can have words that come out that help you and not hurt you. One verse I memorized is in Proverbs 12, verse 18. I think about this verse still fairly often. It says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I mean, my words are just like a sword sometimes, just cutting people. But if I'm wise, I'll bring healing. You know, something sharp in the hand of someone who's reckless just tears and cuts. A sharp knife in the hand of a surgeon brings life, brings healing. So we need wisdom in all kinds of areas, and God directs our lives by giving us wisdom through His Spirit. We need wisdom to help people find Christ. That's another area. 2 Timothy 3, he says, tells Timothy, he says, you knew the sacred writings from infancy that are able to make you wise for salvation. The Scriptures make you wise to bring you to Christ. We need wisdom. A couple of months ago, my wife and I were up at Mayo Clinic. She's had some health problems, and we were up there up in Rochester, and we had eaten lunch and ended up sitting down next to this couple who's from Florida up there. They had some health issues as well, and they were in their 70s. And we got chatting. They found out I was a pastor, and I found out they were Jewish. And so I just mentioned that, you know, I really appreciate the Jewish faith because everything that I believe is founded upon Abraham and Moses and the prophets. And so we engaged in a conversation. We talked about current events going on with all the problems in Gaza and Israel. And then at that time, it was the shootings and the riots in Ferguson, Missouri. And she asked, this woman asked a very insightful, very foundational question. And she says, why is there so much hatred in the world? Well, if someone asked you that, what would you say? Do you have wisdom to be able to take the Scriptures and apply that at that moment? Starting with Genesis 3, for example, when sin came into the world and the curse came in and death came upon this world and all the other things that really are fundamental to the gospel. We need wisdom to know how to solve these problems, how to answer questions and meet the need of the moment to bring people to Christ. The ultimate source of wisdom is God. I mean, there's earthly wisdom we can learn of how, you know, not too long ago I was doing some painting and I was standing on the top of a stepladder. Any of you have done that, you know that's the worst place to stand because the ladder gets very unstable. There's that kind of a wisdom, and that's good wisdom, but what we're talking about here is a heavenly wisdom, a spiritual wisdom that begins to bring truth to bear on the situations of life. And the source is discovered in large part in the greatest act and the greatest person in history. And it has to do with the gospel, the work, the person and the work of the Son of God, Jesus. Colossians 3, verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 3 says, in Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus, the Son of God, is the pinnacle of God the Father's wisdom in human history. And the Lord was all wise to conceive of and implement before time even began this astonishing plan of redemption that He brought. Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you want wisdom, you need Jesus. That's the place to start and end. And then we're given wisdom by the Spirit of Christ. I love this verse in Isaiah. It's actually a prophecy about this coming Messiah. Isaiah wrote this in 700 BC, and he's speaking of the Messiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him," that is the Messiah, "the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." What a description of the Holy Spirit who comes down and resides in the heart of the believer in Jesus Christ. And notice out of those six descriptors of the Spirit, five of those are found in just the first chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs being the premier book of wisdom. So God's Holy Spirit who resides in the heart of every believer is the source and the supplier of wisdom. You can have wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Because God, the all-wise God, dwells in you if you know Christ. We have wisdom available. God leads and directs us through the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. There's other ways He directs, directly through His Word and through sometimes through circumstances and sometimes through the miraculous. But the large part of our lives are going to be directed by the wisdom that God gives us. And a crucial element to wisdom is godliness. There is a moral component to God's wisdom. It's not just knowing don't stand on the top of a stepladder, but it's knowing the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. There's a moral component there. One man said this. There's a quote we can show up here. There it is. "More than wisdom, more than knowledge, wisdom is the right application of knowledge. The right application, knowing the right time to apply knowledge in moral and spiritual matters, in handling dilemmas, and in negotiating complex relationships." Wisdom is knowing the right thing to say or do at the right time based on God's moral truth. The correct perspective and understanding of God and mankind and life, that is in large part what wisdom is. And the Spirit is our helper, our guide into that wisdom. Back to Isaiah chapter 11. He guides us and directs us through wisdom. It's really phenomenal when I think we just finished a series on the Holy Spirit, so this has been on my mind a lot. But to think, as a believer in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1 says that God seals us with His Holy Spirit. He resides. Jesus said in John 7, the Spirit will reside in you forever. God is near. Sometimes when we feel like God's a million miles away, we have to realize He's right here in me. And He's the source of all wisdom and knowledge and understanding and might and counsel. Have you ever prayed for wisdom? I do almost every day, every morning, at least I try to, every morning, just think through my day, what's going to happen, what unknown things might come up, what people I'm going to meet, what projects I need to work on. God, give me wisdom here. Let me do this as You would want me to. Guide me into the right things, the right words. The Spirit understands everything. Every problem. Every dark thing in our hearts. Every issue, every complex issue, healthcare in this country and moral problems. And He knows the answer to all the problems in the world and in this nation. And He knows the dark problems and the secret problems and the complex problems in our own hearts. And He guides us as He gives us wisdom and insight. You know, sometimes when we need wisdom, when we want to discover God's will, when we want to hear from God, sometimes, and it's not wrong to want this, but sometimes we just want the miraculous. You know, we want the clouds in the sky to move in such a way that we see the face of Jesus up there. And it's like, oh yeah, there's a sign. You know, I see that. Now I know I should go left instead of right. Or, you know, we want the miraculous, and it's okay if you want that, and God can do that, and He often does that kind of thing. But I think the bulk of the time is our problem is we fail the hard work of seeking after wisdom. I just want the miracle because it's easy. I mean, it's kind of cool too, but there's hard work in seeking after the wisdom of God. But that's the more normal way that God will lead our lives. Let me give you an ongoing story about God leading by the wisdom that His Spirit gives. 3 months ago, some Christians in a small town about 70 miles from Ames, a little town called Belle Plaine, contacted us, and they want to start an evangelical church in their small town. It's about 2,700 people. But their town is kind of in the middle of small towns. There's no larger town there, and there's very little, if any, evangelical voice, gospel preaching voice in their area. A lot of churches, but virtually none of them really preach the gospel of Jesus. Virtually none of them believe that this book is the inspired word of God, and they're hungry. And they've been driving other places. They've been driving an hour or more to Iowa City down there, but you know, it's just impractical to really have church fellowship when you're an hour away, and for them in a rural area. And they just have a heart, not only for themselves, but for their community, to bring the gospel to their part of the world. And so they just started asking, can we start a church, or what do we do? And so we've been dialoguing. And again, there's no FAQ section in here that says, okay, first of all, should you start a church in Belle Plaine, Iowa? I looked, and there's no verse that says, start a church in Belle Plaine, Iowa. And so what do you do? Questions like that come up all the time. And so we've been dialoguing on this. God, they've been seeking the Lord, seeking His Word, seeking answers in prayer. And somehow God has to shed light on our lives to direct us and guide us, even when it's not through the miraculous. Even when there's no Bible verse that says, start a church in Belle Plaine, and here's how to do it. There are scriptures that relate to all that, but not as clear in one little concise sentence that we'd like sometimes. God leads through wisdom, and wisdom is not second best to some miraculous sign or some vision. It's God's intended and normal design for us to walk by faith. So how does wisdom relate? Well, I think wisdom is we can see their hearts. Wisdom tells us, look at their hearts. These people love the Lord. I mean, they're doing Bible studies in their town. They have a compassion for the people in this town. They have good spirits about them. They're not complaining about all the other churches. They just want Jesus to be proclaimed. And their heart, the fruit of their lives, the love, the joy they have, it's so obvious. And I believe through a variety of circumstances, also the Spirit has laid it on our hearts to help them. I think we're being a little bit of help, hopefully more than that, but God has laid it on our hearts to help them. I just believe God has given us that desire to help them. It's a lot of work helping them. It takes a lot of time. They have really hard questions, and we've traveled over there, and they've traveled to Ames, and I don't think we have all the answers, but God's given us some wisdom and a heart for them. And I don't think any of that necessarily proves that it's God's will. I don't think we can just say absolutely 100%. But through all these things, I think God is giving them wisdom and giving us wisdom as He's directing them of whether or not they really should start a church. And then if so, how do you do it? What do you actually do? How do you start? How do you start meeting? And do you play songs? Do you have to play songs like this? And, you know, just basic questions that we're just all used to. But when you're confronted with starting from scratch, you have to ask, well, what is a church, actually? They asked one question. It was really a good question. They said, what's the difference between just having a Bible study in town and calling yourself a church? That's a good question, isn't it? They're having Bible studies, but they don't really consider that a church. But at what point does it move from being a Bible study to a church? It takes wisdom to know how to answer that. The answers are in this book, I think. It tells us what church is. The heart of what a church is. But God is leading this. God is leading this, and as they pray and as they study the Word together, they've got 10 or 12 people that are gathering 3 or 4 times to really study out the Scriptures of what is a church, what is God's will, and they're doing that. They're getting counsel, and God is leading them. And I think it's going to happen, but you know, we'll see. But I believe the Spirit can give wisdom. He can lead us in decisions that we have to make. So how do we get it? How do we get wisdom? Wisdom isn't received mystically, like it just falls down from the sky. We pursue it. And God, somehow the exchange of information, I'll call it, from God's Spirit to ours gets passed on to us. We realize some things. We begin to have a greater knowledge and understanding and insight into problems and people based on this book, but taking this book and making application to life and to problems and to relationship issues. But if we want God to lead us, if we want to be wise instead of being fools, we have to go after this. It has to be sought after aggressively, continuously. And let me give you four or five ways that we have to seek after wisdom. One is we need to fear God and to know Him. It begins there. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says it well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So to fear the Lord, that's a big topic, but it means in part to take Him seriously. You don't take God lightly or frivolously. He's not just a buddy. He's the Lord. You tremble before Him. You're serious. When He says something in this book, you take it seriously. You fear Him. To fear the Lord means to love what is good and right, to hate what is evil and dark, and because wisdom has that moral component to it. We have to fear God and know Him. There's lots of great people, lots of people who know great things. There's one professor on the Iowa State campus. He's a religion professor, but he's an atheist. It's on a public university, a religion department, and he's an atheist. I don't know how that all fits. He knows the Bible forwards and backwards. He knows about it, but he doesn't understand it. He's a fool. He has great knowledge, but he has no wisdom because he doesn't fear God. He hates the Lord. He denies Him. So it's not about mere knowledge or mere intellect, although that is a factor. But when you consider in Acts 4, it's the Jewish leaders were persecuting the apostles, and it said they recognized that the apostles were uneducated and ordinary men, but they had been with Jesus. So here they didn't have maybe you'd say they had a GED, and all these other great Jewish leaders had the PhD, but really God would say, these uneducated men were the great ones. They were the godly ones, the wise ones. So we fear God and we know Him. Second, we need to study and know the Scriptures. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God makes the simple person, the foolish person, the unwise person, wise from His Word, from the testimony of the Lord. He gives wisdom as we study and know and believe and obey this book. God gives us insight into life and into problems, into issues. But we have to go after His Word. We can't just kind of read it casually or flippantly a couple minutes of the day and expect to really grow in wisdom to great levels. We've got to go after this. This has to be part of our DNA. Sometimes we're just waiting for the mystical and the miraculous and the mysterious, but the Lord is just saying, I want to communicate to you. I wrote this book for you. Read it, know it, believe it, and I will give you wisdom. You are simple. I will make you wise. So when we get into this book every day, when you start reading it, just something simple like, Lord, I need to know You. I need to know what's here. I need to believe it. Help me. Soften my heart. Calm me down. Help me to rest. Help me not to be thinking about the rest of the day. Whatever your need is, just pray. Ask God. Teach me. Help me. Strengthen me in this book. We need to study and know the Scriptures. Third, we need to listen to those who are older and wiser than we are. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Walk with people who are wiser than you. Hang out with them, whatever it takes. Often, they're going to be older than you. Not always. You can have old fools and young wise people, but generally, someone who's older in Christ is going to have more wisdom than you do. So if you're a teenager, you should know that your parents are wiser than you. I can say it's probably a given in 99.999% of the time. We're not born with wisdom. Proverbs 1:4 says one of the purposes of Proverbs is to give knowledge and discretion to the youth. That's Solomon wrote it to his son. He says, listen, several times throughout the book of Proverbs, he says, listen, my son. He's passing on something to his children. If we're a young family, we need great wisdom in parenting and in having a marriage, a good marriage, in the stresses and challenges of life. And don't go it alone. Learn from those who are older, who've gone before you and succeeded. And a note to all of us who are more of the gray-haired side of life or losing hair, we need to pass wisdom on. Like Solomon said, listen, my son, we have to pass that on to the next generation. And then we, in turn, have to realize we don't have all wisdom either. I mean, if I don't know how long I'll live, but even if I live to be 106 like my grandmother did, I'll still have more need for wisdom. I don't want to be an old fool, and that's possible. We need wisdom, and we need to learn it from others. Listen to those older and wiser. Fourth, ask for it. Pretty obvious, like Solomon did in 1 Kings. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Last Monday, I was on the phone with a friend of mine, and he's a good man, and I appreciate him. He's a really strong leader, and he was talking to me. He just had felt like, he said it very respectfully, but he was just felt like that I and my other pastors weren't leading well in a certain area. We were being inconsistent. We were saying one thing is good, but we weren't really following that up and leading the church in this way. And some kind of a, to him, it felt like hypocrisy. And so we talked and talked, and I just honestly didn't, I knew he was right, but I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what the solution was. So I'm on the phone, and I'm feeling frustrated because I don't know what to say. And so I just prayed quietly to myself. I said, Lord, what do we do here? I know he's right, but I don't know what to do. And within a minute, we came up with a solution. And we're going to meet this week, going to meet Wednesday with one of my other pastors, the three of us, and we're just going to talk it out. And he's got some great insight. And I know my other pastor is very wise in this area of leadership too, and I think God's going to lead us and help us be better. But I needed to ask. I felt stumped. One of my more frequent prayers is, Lord, help me today to know what to say to this person, to know how to help over here, to know how to resolve this complicated situation, to help this marriage, to help to have good, edifying speech, to build people up and not to tear them down. And James says, ask and don't doubt. We need to ask for it. And last, we need to search for it as for hidden treasure. Look at this in Proverbs 2. It's astonishing. Look for the action verbs here. It's very action-oriented here if you want wisdom. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Notice those words, receive, treasure up. Making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then. If any of you programmers, computer programmers out there, see an if-then statement? If you do this, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Sometimes I lack wisdom because I'm just too lazy to go after it. I don't search for it. I don't thirst after it. I don't search like if I knew there was a buried treasure in my backyard, I'd be renting a backhoe. But I've got to go after it. You know, when I prayed, Lord, give me double of Pat's spirit, his wisdom, give me double. I didn't just sit back and wait for wisdom to fall down. I didn't expect it just to happen overnight. I knew I had to seek after it. I had to be in prayer. I had to be in the scriptures. I had to be counseling with others, learning from others who are better leaders or better pastors or better whatever. I had to search for it, and I still have to search for it. We can't be in a hurry to get wisdom. I like to be in a hurry, and I like things fast because that's easier. But we've got to be in this for the long haul, to be searching, calling out, crying aloud the wisdom that God wants to give. And part of it is just being an observer, just taking in life, taking in things that are happening, that we're hearing, that we're learning, taking in them in and processing them through the wisdom that God gives, and we become wiser still. God wants to lead and guide our lives, and He does it in large part through wisdom that He'll give you. It's founded on this book, and then it's made applicable through the power of His Spirit. And so we do all this as we remember back to Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, the Messiah. And this is the same Spirit who resides in us, if you know Christ. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much that You are the all-wise, all-knowing, all-understanding God. And You now dwell in the heart of every believer in Jesus. By Your mercy, by Your humility, You set Yourself inside us. And now we access to the infinite, astonishing wisdom of the eternal God. Oh God, would You have mercy on us? Would You double our wisdom? Triple it. Whatever amount we need more for life to lead ourselves in relationship with You, to lead other people, our families, even at the workplace. We can apply the eternal wisdom of God in a secular environment. God, give us wisdom. Help us to go after it. Help us to do the hard work of seeking after wisdom that You so generously give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Brad. So I'll stand up and we'll sing a few more worship songs here.